Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
I'm delighted to say Martin Murphy joins us on the line to preview the weekend's racing. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Patrick. How are we keeping?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Busy week it has been since the Irish Derby, since we spoke last, Martin. We're going to just briefly touch on the Irish Derby. A very intriguing race, which kind of caused a bit of a result in Latrobe winning the Dubai Jude of the Irish Derby.
Well, yes, Patrick, I suppose you'd have to say he wouldn't be the most obvious horse before the race. I mean, I'd seen him run a few times, and he had run some very good races, but it was a big step up from winning a maiden to going straight to a group one and winning it well. And you have to say he was a deserved winner on Sunday. The ground was very quick. On Saturday. The ground was very quick, I thought, which didn't probably play into the strengths of DXB. In fairness to Donica, he had the horse in the right position from the word go. And although Rostropovich certainly battled very strongly, he did get by him close to the line. Saxon Warrior ran a good race, you'd have to say. He ran a very solid race, but he just doesn't look to be the same horse he was when he won the Guineas. And it's interesting, he's going to run the Eclipse now again tomorrow, which will be a bit of a surprise in Sandown, but we'll be talking about it later on. But certainly, it was a great race to watch, and it was a very good finish, and no doubt, tremendous achievement for Joseph Ryan. Two short years training now to win a race like that, you know, plus the Melbourne Cup and other good races won already today. And I think for Dunnock as well, you know, he's really come of age this year. I think he will be champion jockey. That was his third classic win this season, which is tremendous. And, you know, to beat the father, obviously, probably have mixed feelings about that, but I'm sure the father, as he looks, he was very delighted with the result. He's won the race, of course, 12 times in the past, but no doubt that Joseph has made a tremendous start to his training career. And while people would say, obviously, he has the best horse and best owners and all that type of thing, he still has to produce, and he at the moment is certainly producing, and he's only 25 years of age, which is kind of frightening for everybody else. But there's no doubt that that win was a very highly deserved one. And I think, you know, just talking about fair, he could be a type of horse to go on and win the Melbourne Cup. Great for the owner, Lloyd Williams. He's a very, very big supporter of racing and loves Australian racing. Obviously, that's where he's from, and he would love to see the horse come down and win the Melbourne Cup, just like Rick Hinning did last season. But he's probably even a better horse, I think, than that, perhaps. He could be a very good horse. He could even stay in train as a four-year-old. You never know what that would be open to him. But I say on a good quick round over a mile and a half and even further, he is a very, very good horse and could turn out to be a high-class one.
Yeah, absolutely. Be keen interest to watch out for. Just the other group one over the weekend in Martin as well was the Pretty Polly, and a turn up for the books here as well when Forever Together got turned over.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise that she ran, I suppose, so quickly after the Oaks. I always thought she was just going to go for the Oaks, but she had a slight worry about the ground. The ground was fairly quick on Sunday. It was probably a lot quicker on Sunday than what it would have been over the weekend. Just never really happy dropping back to a mile and a quarter. And while, you know, it was a good performance for the winner, it has to be said, and Chelsea was a clear-cut winner from a long way out. It was disappointing for Forever Together, probably the only disappointment really of the weekend for the O'Brien team, who had nine winners from the Friday to the Sunday, and of course Ryan Moore rode those nine horses. But certainly would leave that maybe Magic Wand be the number one choice now, I think, for the Oaks in a couple of weeks' time. She was very impressive with him in the Riverside Stakes at Royal Ascot, and Forever Together probably won't be seen again until the ground gets a little bit softer. But I wouldn't rule her out yet. She could be a type of mare that would do well in the autumn in the likes of the Yorkshire Oaks and race to that over a mile and a half plus.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We'll take a look at that in the future. But for the present moment, Martin, there's plenty of racing done for decision. And they've just kicked off at Bellistown for their third day this evening. And of course, Wexford will be kicking off very shortly. But tomorrow's action kicks off at Naas with the opening race at 2:15. I'm going to kick on to the second race, which is the 6 furlong conditions race. Just the three entries here, Martin, but not a whole lot between the three of them.
No, not really. Full Moon, Guest, and Most Gifted. I suppose you'll have to favour the O'Brien pair really on ratings here. I thought maybe Full Moon didn't run so bad last time, and maybe on the quicker ground he could go well. He ran well enough in the Ballyhor Stakes and fifth. Most Gifted was a little bit disappointing when beaten over 7 furlongs here in the winner's race a couple of weeks ago, having ran fairly well at a higher level in the Irish 1000 Guineas. I suppose it'll have to be those two. Guest ran well in the handicap last time and might be coming back to form, but it'd be surprised if Aidan O'Brien can't win this. I just favour Full Moon over Most Gifted.
Okay, looking later on the card, in the Phillies handicap over 6 furlongs is the 4:35 contest, and we've got 10 ladies going to stalls here.
Yeah, very, very competitive. This one has to be said, Patrick. Kindly was a good winner for Johnny Levin last time. It had that one well at Cork, and under £3 rise in the weights, would have a good chance again. Elegant Drama for Gerard Lyons, who continues to do well. Rapid Reaction was a winner at Naas, certainly won well that time, and is up £6 for that one. Well, Wataki has been running well for Dermot McLaughlin. But I think the one to beat is number three, Sophia, for Edward Lynham. Slow start to the season for Edward, but getting running a bit better now. And Sophia won well at the Curragh in the maiden a couple of weeks ago, and then won well on her very first start in a handicap handicap at Down Royal just 2 weeks ago. I thought it was quite a good performance. She'd come from behind to beat Abstraction and done it well. She's up £4 for that. And she's just the type of mare that I think Eddie Lynam can do well with these sprinters and just keep improving them. And even though she's not the best stall in stall 10 out of 10, I think she just might be good enough to win again.
The extended 10 furlong handicap is kicking off at 5.05, Martin. Local runner here in the East Cork West Waterford area in here for the crack for Ken Buds. But is there anything else you'd like in it?
Well, he's got a bit of a decent chance at Japan. It's a horse that I was like, you know, he's getting on a bit in years. And I just think this type of intermediate trip suits him fairly well. Colin Keane is interested in booking form, and I think he will go very well. But Sheila's Hope is certainly the one to beat her. She's won her last three, and the handicapper hasn't missed her for her last win. She won over this course and distance a couple of weeks ago, and it's gone up £13 for that. Now, Tom Madden claims five back off that weight, so that would give her a very good chance. Well, Don Hoofer is the other one for Jim Bulger. You'd have to respect an awful lot. This one was a good winner at the Apprentice Derby, actually, the Curragh last Friday night, up £8 for that. Kevin Manning back on board. I can see this one going very close, and she just gets my vote to win here.
Anything else on the next card tomorrow, Martin?
I thought in the 2:325, Sparkle and Joy is a horse I watched for the first two runs for Jessica Harrington. She ran quite well. Didn't get the clearest run and toured at Limerick last time. Before that was fifth at the Curragh, and that should be good enough to win the 3:25 event. In the 5:35, interesting one here called Cash Queen will have a decent chance for Aidan McGuinness, who can just do quite well this season. Chris Hayes on board. Again, not a great draw, but her two runs there of late hasn't been too bad, and I just think maybe Cash Queen could be an interesting one here. In the race for Chilled White for Denver Weld, could be interesting stepping into a handicap company for the first time after being well fancied in a couple of maidens and slightly underperforming. It could be a different story now going into handicaps, but I think Cash Queen might have her measure.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. Going to touch on Bellewstown next, Martin, but before we do, just I know you're speaking to the track managers nearly every day. How tough is it for the tracks at the moment to keep turning over safe ground every day for these horses?
Has to be said, it's very tough, Patrick, in a lot of cases. And Bellewstown's done a tremendous job, it must be said, and to keep the ground safe for the 4 days this year. It's the first time they went 4 days at this time of year, and certainly I think they've been well rewarded with the number of runners. I think people have been pleasantly surprised how well the ground is been kept. It's a difficult task, there's no question about it. They'll be watering probably after the racing tonight, and they'll be at again first thing in the morning. I have to stop a certain few hours before the first race. Obviously, you don't want slippy ground. So the first race tomorrow is 4:45. They'll have to stop coming up maybe about 2 o'clock, 2:30, and with the forecast again set to rise 26, 27 degrees again tomorrow, the ground should be fine for the horses. National Hunt horses in particular, you definitely need it a little bit on the easy side if at all possible for the horses and jockeys, because when fallers do happen on the fast ground, it's a lot more serious than it would be maybe in the soft ground in the winter. But fair play to the tracks, they're doing a tremendous job at the moment, but you would have to say that the longer this dry spell continues, the more difficult it'll be in certain tracks, and probably people that don't understand racing obviously wonder what we're doing throwing all the water onto a race course. But obviously it's kind of a business venture as well. A lot of racetracks are well set up with their own watering systems. Some just simply use the tractor and trailer and that type of thing. It's more difficult for those type of tracks, but Bellewstown have done a tremendous job, and in fairness, all the tracks at the moment are doing their best. But as I say, it's unusual if you're looking for rain in Ireland, but certainly we could do a couple of showers next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's have a look at Bellewstown. Their fourth and final day of their summer festival meeting kicks off at 4:45 tomorrow, and the first race is a conditions hurdle over 2.5 miles where we've got five going to post.
Yeah, Vida Reb should probably win this rally for Willie Mullins, and Paul Townend, Patrick, looks well in at the weights. He's rated 139, which is comfortably above his nearest rival. I'm not quite sure if he's going to the Galway Festival. I imagine he'll probably find one or two races for him there. He won well last time at Killarney, and I think he probably will win this one. There is some very good races, though, on the card, and it's good to see such good fields as well at Bellewstown, as I say, because the track seems to be so safe. The trainers are not slow and supportive, and it's nice to see some local trainers. They always do well at Bellewstown.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a look more in depth into the card. And the first race is going to catch my eye now is the Maiden Hurdle, Martin, because Yawl by the Sea, of course, owned locally by Gerry Russell, runs in the 5:50 tomorrow.
Well, he hasn't been seen since Galway last September, actually, Patrick. And he ran against a good horse called Stratum, who went on and won a couple of races for Willie Mullins. So that form is quite solid. You can be fairly sure that Gordon Ellie will have him fairly ready, and David Russell's on board. So there's that in his favour here tomorrow. I do feel he has a very good chance. One, probably against him, maybe Political Policy is a good chance for Gavin Cromwell. He's a good horse in the flat. He's run some decent races over hurdles as well, and he should go very well for a local stable. While towards the bottom, West Burma ran two good races there for Colin Brett-Batley in bumpers last season. And hasn't actually ran since, but certainly would have to have a good chance. But definitely be all about to see. Interesting to see what sort of confidence is behind him in the betting market. But if there is plenty of money on him, I certainly think he's a very good chance of winning this.
The big race of the week, Martin, is the 2 mile fast shipping Bellystown handicap hurdle worth €30,000. 11 have been declared in this one, but I'm always interested in the local Eamon Delaney runner. Yeah, half is.
Yeah, and I think this track could be made for him, actually, Patrick. Good to see him. He went to Garden Editor for a certain length of time. He ran well in second at Ferry House, and then he ran over 2.5 last time at Punchdown the last day of the season in April. Didn't really get the trip, which I don't think he really would. I think 2 miles is a dead trip. And I think he'd make a bold bid here from the front. Bellystown's a kind of front-running track, running down hills, and that could probably suit him. Maybe he would want maybe a little bit more rain. There's no question about that. Maybe fast ground might be slightly against him. But, you know, if he runs his usual race, he'll take a bit of pegging back around this. Although this is a strong contest. Monarch was a good winner last time at Down Royal for Joseph Ryan and Mark Walsh. He's up £8 for that and must have a big chance. Well, other horses with chances are the likes of Niven for No Meat. He should go well. And Vineyard for Gordon Elliott as well. Wouldn't be without a chance. Although his chasing career has been put on hold for the moment. He hasn't really taken to the fences. The one I liked on myself for the win is a horse called Dixie Lee for Dermot McLaughlin. Does well Dermot for the small string of horses. This one was a good winner last time of a conditioned race at Down Royal. Beat a decent horse at Jersey Hamptons. Mark Henry takes the mount of just 10-11. I think she makes plenty of appeal here.
Later on the car, Martin, the 3 mile handicap hurdle in at 7:20 has the full field of 16 declarations.
Yeah, another local horse here, John McCollins, Ride to the Boy. He pulled off a nice little gamble last time at Down Royal. Hadn't shown an awful lot up to that. The improvement in the ground conditions certainly brought about the expected improvement, and he wasn't unbacked when making most of the run to Manuel. He's up £9 for that. Don McInerney claims £3 back off him, and he's the only one really in kind of winning form at the moment. I think he's got a very good chance of winning again. Our racial towards the bottom for Tony Martin ran well when second at Downpatrick last time. Possibly would get the 3 miles, I think, and off 10-9 must be a bit of a danger. But I do think that Ride to the Boy could be the one to follow.
Anything else in the Crockerfather track on Saturday?
I think maybe Go Another One has a bit of a chance again for John McConnell, the 6:50. He was beaten in this race last year, actually, Patrick, but it doesn't look much of a race. He's the only extra previous winner in it, and I think he has to have a good chance. Although the danger looks to be Cui Bono for Brendan Drew, very close second in the similar race at Wexford last time, and you would have to give that a bit of a chance. In the 5:15, maybe a little each way in a horse called Can't Kid a Kidder. He's been second in his last two runs over fences and over hurdles, and might be deserving of a winning turn. But again, an open race there at 5:15. A few euro each way shouldn't go astray. Hopefully he'll be able to finish in the first four and collect some winning money for the punters.
Okay, so that's the Bellystown action on Saturday. Going to move to Sunday, keeping with the National Hunt team. We're going to go to Limerick, and the ground there is also good to firm as they are watering throughout the past couple of the days. The opening race is at 2:05, Martin. Going to kick off to the second race, though. That's the conditions hurdle over 2 miles, and we've got 7 runners.
Well, Owen Doyle's here at St. Lawrence Gap. He certainly likes Limerick, Pat. I've seen him there in the flat early on the season, and he might just be good enough to fight top weight in what is a tricky contest only with the 7 runners. Black Key took a while to win his maiden for Andrew de Bombhead, but finally did so last time, and now that he has got his head in front, he could be a big danger here. A Fat Cat has certainly won with a bit of a chance for Dennis O'Regan. Well, My Direction will have the support as well, with a useful 7-pound claimer on board. But I think St. Lawrence Gap does like Limerick and just might be good enough.
The 3 mile handicap hurdle in at 3:10 looks very competitive on paper with the 12 runners.
Yeah, and High Nelly ran a fine race last time, second to House of Parliament in a similar type race at Gordon Park. Up £3 for that, has to carry 11-11, but Cahill Lanners is a very good 7-pound claimer and well worth the £7 here. So off 11-4, she makes plenty of appeal and probably might start favourite. About You for Michael Hurrigan has improved a fair bit of late, won a penultimate start and then went very close to Roscommon when only going down by a head and a head in a 3-way driving finish a couple of weeks ago. Danny Mullins takes the mount, would possibly prefer maybe more of a cut in the ground, but I think should go very well here. Behind Nelly has plenty of things going for her, and she could be able to defy top weight.
So that is the 3 mile handicap hurdle. Then the first of the chases on the card in, Martin, over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, sees just the 6 declarations, but looks very competitive.
It is, and Never Rush O'Con will have a chance for Jessica Harton. At these conditions, she's getting £7 off attribution and the game changer, which is decent bit of weight. Didn't run well in the flat at the Curragh last weekend, but before that had finished a close fifth on Innes weekend. Very consistent animal, has been run over hurdles before that. Finds it sometimes hard to get his head in front, but I think this is his best chance for some time. Attribution with Rachel Blackmore would certainly be a big danger. Likes to go ground, and Henry de Bombhead, he's the type of horse that this horse could be easily lined up in the Gala place in a couple of weeks' time. Giving £7 away to Never Rush Home won't be so easy, and he just might have his measure on Sunday.
The beginner's chase of 410 Martin looks quite competitive on paper, and it looks like a shootout between Dennis Hogan's Hugo and Taz and Henry Bromley's Classic Theatre.
Yeah, absolutely. They will be the big two winner race, Patrick. Classic Theatre have run well enough for Clonmel last time. Hugo and Taz, Dennis Hogan's doing a tremendous job. There's no question about that. He really, really is a very good trainer, dual purpose. I see he's taking the mount himself, and that's the tip in himself. I think he could go closer in this race.
Then we've got the Galway Plate Trial, Martin, at 4:45. An intriguing race here, whether some of these horses could get into the handicap unless one could pull off a big victory. But the mare, Miss Sassy, for Paul Nolan, who won a Wexford last time, must have a big chance.
Certainly very impressive last time, I have to say, Patrick. Handled the very quick round and really, really, really impressively. Up £9 for that. As you say, if she does win here, she'll have to get a big height to get into the Galway Plate, but she'd have to respect her chances, and Brian Cooper keeps the mount. The one I was looking at myself was Snugsmore Benny. Interesting horse for Liam Cusack. Three-time winner this time last year over hurdles. Likes good ground. Won well last time at Down Royal and must have a bit of a chance. But Sea Light is interesting for Charles Burns. Ran his best race for some time in fourth last time out and could go well here. But I think maybe Snugsmore Benny and Miss Sassy are the big two.
Anything else on the Limerick card on Sunday, Martin?
Possibly in the opening race, Storm Rising certainly is due a win, I think, for Dennis Hogan. From second, the last couple of runs, only just run over on a few occasions, and I think that one must go very well in the 2:05.
Okay, so that's the Limerick card on Sunday. To round off the weekend, we've got a card at Fairy House as well. It's a flat card, and the opening race is at 1:50. We're going to kick into the 7 furlong handicap at 2:55, though. There is 9 decorations for this one.
Yeah, Lady Godiva ran very well last night in Bellistown, just got beaten for Joseph Bryan, and if he turns up again here, we'll take plenty of beating in this race. Daniel Quest was second last time out of Leperstown and must have a chance for Sheila Labrie. I think Lady Godiva could continue the good run of Joseph Bryan.
The Moynalaff handicap is the 4:30 race, Martin, with just 8 runners.
Yeah, Baba Boom certainly would be a fancy here for Johnny Murta and Ross Coakley. Good winner last time at Limerick, up £10 for that. Looks to be heading in the right direction and can beat Smiling Eliza for Gordon Eddie, who finished fourth at the Curragh last weekend. Declan McDonough takes the mount in that one. But I think Baba Boom could be another one for Johnny Murta, who's having a fine season.
Of course, if you are heading to Fairy House on Sunday, there is free ice cream for the children, and that is the title for the closing race and the mile and a half handicap, where there is 9 runners.
Yeah, Park Row, I thought, ran well for Dennis Coakley. First run for him, third to Brownell's Bell at Leperstown, who looked a very good, very well handicapped horse on that occasion. Might just be good enough to win here. High Kicker, narrow winner at Tipperary a couple of weeks ago, only up £3 for that, and must be a big danger. But I think Park Row could be the one with Ross Coakley on board.
Of course, the big rest of the weekend, Martin, is the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Brownstown Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs, and there is €75,000 in the prize pot. Could it be Love was a decent third last time? Could she go 2 steps better?
I think so. I think she'd be favourite here, Patrick. It was a great effort in the Irish Guineas again, chasing home Alpha Centauri. That was great form. And then dropping back to 7 furlongs last time, ran a really good race, went second, or third in the Jersey Stakes, behind a very good horse called Expert Eye, for trying by Sir Michael Stout. That form is well above everything. Anything else in the race here? I think Lightning Quick won well in the Italian Stakes, finished 6th there, Skinnies. Could be a big danger here. But Lincoln Rocks, another one for England. David O'Mara sends it over. Wouldn't be without a chance, but I think Could It Be Loved has an awful lot going for her and will take all the beating.
Is there anything else in the Fairy House card you like?
Possibly in the 2:25, a horse called A Likely Story should go well each way. Ran very well at Nace, third in a similar type race. It's a good draw on stall 4 for Tom McCourt, with the winner at Bellistown today. Danny Sheehy takes the mount. I'd recommend that each way. And also in the 4 o'clock, maybe Shalanga for Denver Well, second in Ace last time. Beaten by probably a decent newcomer, Tremby McHalford. Might have an easier task on Sunday and gets the vote to win at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so that is the Irish action for the weekend. We're going to just turn our attentions to England for the moment, Martin, and Sandown has an earlier start time due to terrestrial TV coverage of the England-Sweden game, so there's 2 or 3 meetings going to be starting a bit earlier over in England this weekend, and the big meeting this weekend is at Sandown, of course, the Coral Eclipse, as we mentioned at the top. It's an earlier start time of 2:10, so just do take note of that if you are having a bet in the race. But as you mentioned, Martin, at the top, Saxon Warrior, very interesting to see that he's been declared 7 days after a very tough Irish Derby.
Yeah, I thought it was a tough race he got, Patrick, and I was very surprised to see him declared. Like he sweat up fairly well, I thought, last weekend. And he ran a good race. He got a hard race, I thought, obviously trying to win the race. I do feel that the mile and a quarter would certainly suit him better. There's no question about that. Dropping down on trip will be in his favour. Donica O'Brien renews his partnership with the horse. Of course, he won the Guineas on him, and maybe they're hoping that'll spark a bit more improvement. But he does have to beat Massar and Roaring Lion, who comfortably beat him in the Epsom Derby. And Massar will certainly be favoured on tomorrow, and it probably should take all the beating. It is a high-class Eclipse, though. Hawkbell was a winner of the race 2 years ago, and he'd be a big price here. Happily, he stood over for Aidan O'Brien. Didn't get a clear run in the French Oaks last time. I think a mile and a quarter was super well, but you'd have to worry maybe about fast ground. I think the ground really is that she likes is kind of a little bit, needs to have a bit of cut in it. But Saxon Warrior, just from the point of view of it being a stallion, I think Patrick's the price the same here. Like, I mean, he wins the Guineas, he's worth an awful lot of money. If he can win the Epsom Derby, obviously he's worth even more. But to run him, if he gets beaten again tomorrow, that's three Group 1 defeats now in a row, which certainly would take a bit of glass off his what looked to be a very high reputation. I just think they're taking a bit of a chance to run them. And while the mile and a quarter would suit him well, it'd be a tremendous training performance if Aidan O'Brien can do it. But of course, who was to say he can't? He's got just a tremendous record in this race, and also obviously in racing in general. If anyone came back to win, it probably is Aidan. However, I do have a slight fancy for Roaring Lion. I just didn't get home in the Epsom Derby when coming to challenge Massar from inside the last 2 or 4 rounds. It did step back to a mile and a quarter would suit him, and he could be the one I think that might supply the bit of value in this race. Massar, obviously worthy favourite for the he is the Epsom Derby winner. It'd be nice to see a real good horse emerge among the 3 year-olds. I think they're a bit of a mixed bunch at the moment. I think one will certainly win here, but for me I'll go with Roaring Lion. Hopefully Saxon Warrior can do it. As I say, it would be a tremendous training performance. If it wasn't anyone else by Aidan O'Brien, you'd say they have no chance of doing it, but with Saxon Warrior and with Aidan O'Brien around, you just never know.
Just with Massar, Martin, just interesting to see that the form going back along when he won at Sandown in the Salario Stakes last September. Second team was the Irish 2000 Guinea winner, Romanized.
That's right indeed. And I remember that well, actually, looking at it. That's what I thought, actually, Romanized didn't need to get a chance in the Guineas. It's surprising, really. And Massar, like, you know, he ran in America, then he started off in Dubai. So he hasn't been behind the door in running. I thought if he'd lined up in last week's Irish Derby, he would have been very hard to beat. I think the way the race has run, everything would have suited him very well. I think he would have won. They're obviously trying to win a Group 1 over a mile and a quarter, which is so important for stud value, and this is probably his best chance. Derby winners don't really run too often in the Eclipse. The last one to do it was actually See the Stars. He won the race well in 2009, but before that Authorized got beaten. It's the first real test against the older horses, and while this year's older horses I don't think are marvellous, it's great to see three very, very good 3 year-olds, the horses that ran the Derby first, second and fourth in the Derby, lining up. I don't think that's happened for quite a long time, so it should be a fascinating contest. Well worth looking forward to it, and I as I say, it'd be great to see Saxon Warrior win it, but I couldn't recommend backing him.
Just you briefly mentioned about the three older horses there running against the 3 year-olds, Martin. Cliffs of Moher, Forest Ranger and previous winner Hawkbill, have any of the three of them any chance?
On recent form, it's Cliffs of Moher that definitely looks up against it. Hawkbill hasn't been the same, I suppose, and you'd be surprised if they were good enough to win. They are conceding, of course, a valuable £10 to these very good 3 year-olds as well. I'd say when they're going for this, they wouldn't have thought the first, second and fourth in the Epsom Derby would have been running in the race. I think the fact that Roaring Lion is, you know, a happy take on Massar again is very interesting. Everyone's surprised, I think, by Saxon Warrior running. But with Aidan O'Brien, he probably seen something in his work early on this week to suggest that he's taken the race well at the Curragh, and maybe he can strike while the iron's hot. If he can win this, obviously he's worth an awful lot of money, and certainly will throw up some very interesting races like the Judmonte International in York in August and our own Irish Champions Stakes here in September. That's the race we'll be hoping he could turn up, and maybe you may even see a clash with the brilliant filly Alpha Centauri. So it could be great for us if one of these three win tomorrow. I think Massar, Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior all enter for the Irish Champions Stakes, and I would imagine if one of those could win, that race would be very high in their agenda, which would be exciting for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally in that race, Martin, then tomorrow, Happily, who's been beaten twice in 2 Guineas, and she was beaten in the French Oaks last time in Shanty. Can she make any sort of a comeback tomorrow?
It's not easy, Philly, to win this race, Patrick. And I would have thought, like, her form over a mile, she definitely wants further than a mile. I just thought last time she got no run at all in the French Oaks over a mile and a quarter. I think she might have been a bit unlucky not to win that. But whether that still is good enough to win here against these Derby horses remains open to question. When Norton takes the mount, I just have a feeling she would like a bit more rain, which is unlikely at Sandown tomorrow. I think the ground will be fairly fast, and everything should play in favour of Massar and Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior and that department. But I just think, you know, she's up against it tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Before we get your bets of the weekend, Martin, I just wanted to just mention one thing to you about one of the most famous commentators around the world, Daisy Scahill, who's going to be hanging up the microphone in a couple of weeks. He's been a great servant to the game. He's done 47 Irish derbies straight, and it's an incredible just to see him going so soon.
Well, absolutely, Patrick, and he's been the vice of racing for so long. growing up racing first as a 7-8-year-old, he's the voice you'd always stick out and remember. Tremendous voice for, you know, calling finishes. You know, some memorable commentaries like Don Runman in the 1986 Gold Cup, I suppose, stands out. But there's some lots of others as well. And he was such a popular character on the track. Big Manchester United supporter. I know he used to go over there and watch the home matches with his great friend John Mulhern, unfortunately the late John Mulhern. But Desi is a great character and a very, very unique voice he had, and very accurate with his commentary. And I think, you know, he's going to be very sadly missed, has to be said. He retires at the end of July before the Galway Festival, and it was his last Derby, as you say, to call last weekend. But, you know, Desi's been a true professional for many years and very popular character with everybody, with jockeys and with trainers and with everybody in race, and we like to wish him well. He's a very handy golfer as well, Patrick. You see him on the golf course a lot more often, but and very nice family as well. It's great to see Desi getting out in one piece, as you say, but, you know, it's going to be sad. It's going to be hard to get used to his voice not, you know, been there after kind of growing up with it. It's just one of these voices you kind of grew up with, like Sir Peter O'Sullivan and Julie Milson, those type of lads. And I think Desi, you know, it's great to see he's going to have a long, happy retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a new man that's stepping into his shoes, Gerry Hannan.
Yeah, he even sounds like Desi, but you believe, and I think he said that himself, that's his idol, and he has modelled himself on Desi, and he's a very, very good commentator, and it's a tough job. It's you have all these camera angles now and different things, but so much wrestling now, so many runners as well, and things, you know, obviously people are always there to criticise your mistakes, a difficult thing to do. And I know my own son actually does a small bit of commentary at home, and you even try commentary myself, it's not an easy thing to do. There's no question about it. People might think it's easy, but when horses are coming at you at all sorts of angles, when horses are falling to last and things like that, it's a very difficult job. I always think the commentator is the most important person at the racetrack, Patrick, because we all can all see the horses. If the commentary ever breaks during midstream and that, and people are just left in the dark and nobody knows what's in front, what's going to come with the chance to win. I think he's the most important person at the racetrack, and I think Desi has carried that mantle for so many years and done it so well, and such a popular character. It's great, and hopefully he has a happy, very long retirement.
Yep, absolutely, Dean. So say all of us. Martin, before we let you go, I know you're tipping Roaring Lion in the Eclipse.
Yeah, I do. I definitely think he's a good chance. Hopefully a good price. I think 3 or 4 to 1 would be good enough for me.
Okay, and what about your Irish naps of the weekend?
Well, at Nace on Saturday, I'd definitely be interested in Rattling Jewel in the 4 o'clock, the sprint handicap. I think there's a good chance for Joseph Ryan. At Bellisdown tomorrow evening, I like Dixie Lee in that 6:20 race. I think she's an improving filly. In the Ferry House race on Sunday, 5:05, Park Row in the last race, has a good chance. And at Limerick on Sunday, I'll take a chance on High Nelly in that 3-mile handicap at 3:10.
All right, that's the action for the weekend. Very busy action this weekend, of course, over the next couple of weeks. The festivals will be kicking back into gear. Of course, we've got Killarney and Galway coming up. But look, Martin Murphy, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon, previewing this weekend's racing.
Thanks a million, Patrick. Take care.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.